Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Attention Please podcast, now on video. If you like this podcast, kindly like, share, and subscribe. You know what to do. So today we have a guest, Suhail, who's been on my show before. And the reason why I have him is he's the number one Shah Rukh Khan fan that I know. I mean, the number one Shah Rukh Khan fan that I know that doesn't abuse me on Twitter. Let me add to that, because I'm pretty sure I know bigger Shah Rukh Khan fans, like no, than him. So he's just seen Jawan. He saw Jawan, I think, yesterday, right? Or day before yesterday?
No, day zero, Thursday evening show.
He saw it on Thursday evening show. I saw it yesterday, Saturday, afternoon show. So I used to be a Shah Rukh Khan fan, as those of you know me, but I'm a recovering Shah Rukh Khan fan. So
do you still have your Ramjani getup?
Yes, I used to cosplay as Ramjani at one point of time. So it was that crazy. But now as I've grown older, my passion for all things has ceased, and Shah Rukh Khan definitely one of them. So I thought that it would be good to have like the perspective of a genuine fan, because if you only heard what I had to say, you might think it's slightly one-sided. And for a centrist commentator, maybe that's not a very good thing. So I'll start off with asking Suhail a very simple question. See, how does this compare to not Shah Rukh Khan's best work, but to Shah Rukh Khan's previous work, Pathaan?
So, I am actually right now reading Bharadwaj Rajan's extremely in-depth analysis of the difference between masala movie and mass movie. And I am realizing, apparently, this is mass and that is masala. To me, everything was a big entertainer. Now, to Arnob's prior point, of course, if you're coming in with the expectation of a Swades or a Chadde, the joke is on you. This is Jawan. You've seen the trailer. You've seen the preview. A friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, also watched Day Zero. And I love the way he put it. He said, this is Shah Rukh Khan's first Tamil movie. It is in Hindi, but it is at its heart, in its aesthetic, it's a Tamil movie. And that's where I feel it's very different from Pathaan. It felt like I have seen this before, and I have seen Rajnikanth and Kamal Hassan do this movie. And this time we have Shah Rukh Khan doing pretty much the same. With that long answer, I think for both Pathaan and Jawan, the only way to watch it is in a theater, packed theater with hooting and whistling. This is not a movie you sit in your couch and watch on OTT.
Yes, I agree with that. Unfortunately, I saw it in an empty theater. So I did. It was the same as watching it at home. When the movie finished, so let me start off with my Jawan experience. So I was initially vacillating whether to take my daughter, because my wife wanted to see it. Because we are at a stage where we can't leave the daughter at home. Ultimately, I decided to watch it alone. But just when the movie finished, there was somebody sitting in the back seat who was, I think, about my daughter's age and whose parents had taken the other decision. So the moment the movie finished, I mean, there was virtually nobody in the cinema theater, so you could hear everything. She shouted, "This is the worst movie I've ever seen. Why did you bring me along?" And I could see there was silence from her parents. I think her parents enjoyed it. But the point that I'm trying to make is Jawan is a product. It is, I think Shah Rukh Khan realized after Zero that he just, people, when they buy tickets, they don't want to go and see a less than superhuman Shah Rukh Khan at the theater. So when you are making a product, if you go to a McDonald's and you bite into McDonald's and it tastes like biryani, even though you may like biryani, that is not what you are expecting, right? So it will be a very discordant experience. So I think Shah Rukh Khan has, I mean, he obviously makes, I don't know what the distinction between formula or mass or whatever that is, but I think Shah Rukh Khan always makes very few films which are like, can be considered to be arty. I don't think he ever does that. But I still think that he's, out of all the big stars, maybe Aamir Khan, definitely with comparison to Salman Khan, Shah Rukh Khan has experimented still a bit more. Now, with respect to first Tamil film, I think Salman Khan has been making Tamil films for a long time. And as a matter of fact, since they're directed by Prabhu Deva, they actually are. They're sometimes copies from Telugu and Tamil films. So I think as a genre, it's not very new. I think the new thing is Shah Rukh Khan doing it. Because yes, he's been doing like Imtiaz Ali movies. He still kind of hangs on to it's a quintessentially romantic image. That's always been where the brand has distinguished. Salman Khan does action and Shah Rukh Khan does romantic movies. Even Jab Tak Hai Jaan and stuff. Even when he's dressed in military fatigues, it's an out-and-out romantic movie.
Yes.
But now, Shah Rukh Khan, I think it's a product. So I'll make a distinction between it as a product and a movie. As a movie, it's terrible. As a product, it's an excellent product. It's an excellent product. Because what it does is, it is a kind of, as you rightfully pointed out, the main problem that the main existential problem that Hindi movies as a product face now is competition from streaming and from people staying at home. This is absolutely not a movie to stay at home and watch. If you're going to watch the movie, you have to watch it in a theater. And it's not just a question of a big screen, the physical big screen, because people have big screens here. It is for communal viewing. It is for community yes. viewing. As you pointed out, Suhail, in your tweet, there are 5 to 6 entries in the movie. So an entry, it's like a set of set pieces. And that's why as a product, it's excellently product designed. So obviously there is no story or anything of the sort. I mean, it of course does have a story, but the story was done much better in Indian, if you remember, by Kamal Haasan. Because what Kamal Haasan did in that movie. I mean, it's very similar plot to Indian.
The distinction, or as Deepak Kittu will say, it's basically Main Azad Hoon in 2023.
Main Azad Hoon has the guy trying to commit suicide at the end, right? So Main Azad Hoon Main Azad Hoon is basically the Jesus Christ story. Because it's basically somebody dying for your sins. That was mm-hmm. the thing. In Indian, it is the father and the son represent alternate views of the society. One is bad, one is good. And the father kills the son at the end.
Yep.
Which makes sense. It's like Mother India on steroids. This is nothing. This is not even going for that kind of symbolism at all. It is just how do we do a lot of dialogue bazi and dhasu stuff. And so you don't.
Yeah.
And do you agree that it is not a good movie? Or do you think it's a good movie?
I will answer it in a very different way. So I'll go back to my 5-entry scene tweet. So people talk about, I wish every piece of my brownie was an edge piece, was a corner piece, right? So they use that concept. They realize, what if we basically took the cream from everything that we are having? So we like entry scenes. We like climaxes. We don't want to be sad for too long. We like Shah Rukh Khan. We like action. They stuffed it together, exactly as you said. Made a product, worked backward. It was almost like a product management class. They launched the product and this was supposed to be a hit before it was launched and it delivered. So from that perspective, I think it did exactly what it set out to do. From my perspective, okay, I'll answer this question like this. I went to watch it on a Thursday in Seattle, which is, it's not India, first of all, right? So it's Seattle. It has some Indians, but it's not India. We had 40-50% people in the theater. Every entry scene delivered, every line, the swag when the senior SRK comes with the cigar in his mouth worked, the hooting and the clapping and even some people standing and starting to dance worked. So with all that put together, I enjoyed it. Is it a good movie? Is a different question. Did I enjoy the movie? Yes, I absolutely enjoyed the experience. And before Arnav tells you, I'm going for a second time today, fourth day, third show.
So see, that's the level of bhakti, and they call BJP supporters bhakts. Anyways, so the point that I try to make a distinction between a movie and a product is that a movie is, in my opinion, is a work of art. So any work of art has to aspire to something, to saying something about the human condition in some way or the other. This movie is not interested about the human condition at all, in any shape or form. I mean, that's the thing. That's where I think it fails as a movie, is that I wish that it had I mean, yes, Shah Rukh Khan gives a lot of dialogue bazi about the state of the country and everything. I get it. But that is not reflected in the dramatic conflict of the movie, which Indian does actually. Because the father and son, there too, you have a father and son, but they represent two alternates of India. So you kind of see the dichotomy India in the father and the son. Here it is, the father is just... Father and the son are basically backups to each other in action. That's it, right? One guy does one cool thing, and then since there is another character, you get to have another entry. So it's like it's like duplicate, right? It's like everything.
At least in duplicate, they were different. One was a hero, one was a villain.
Yes, yes. But it was very clownish and everything. I didn't think it worked. But at least it was trying to do something different. Again, Shah Rukh Khan was trying to do something different with his image every movie in those days. This is very, as you said, it's a very South Indian Tamil Telugu movie where it is very much like Veeras. Everything is uber macho. He has a cigar, right? He's smoking a frigging cigar. He's smoking like a mega cancer stick throughout. And it's like and visually, of course, it is very, very derivative. I mean, that's Duke Nukem. For those of you who have played the game, he's dressed up as Duke Nukem. His hairstyle is Duke Nukem. That's a 90s game. For those of you who might not get the reference, just Google Duke Nukem and you'll realize.
Wonder if they created this father-son story and we'll never know just for that line.
No, I think he created that just because he wanted, there is a story, right? And otherwise the story, the timeline doesn't make sense. I mean, the guy is immortal.
Doesn't make sense. Shah Rukh Khan is about 20 years older than me. And this younger Shah Rukh Khan is 5 years younger than me. So,
so one of the things I read a long time ago was that Shah Rukh Khan has bought the Hindi remakes. I mean, Red Chillies has bought the Money Heist. So they bought the... for Money Heist. And I had said that when I first saw Money Heist, which was before, I thought that Professor is an ideal Shah Rukh Khan role.
I remember this your tweet, yeah.
Kind of role that Shah Rukh Khan... This is like made for Shah Rukh Khan. And so when I heard that he was buying it, I thought, well, okay, he's also realized that same thing. I think there was just too much similarity with Money Heist
Senior Shah Rukh Khan was a little bit of that, but I really think he should do a real Money Heist where he plays the professor.
No, he was the professor here, right? In the jail, and he's kind of the professor, right? He has the professor. There is the romance going on with the negotiator. It's all like those are the elements, and the negotiator doesn't know. So, and then there is this guy who comes to negotiate. I mean, there's too many similarities, right? When they wheel out the things. I'm not saying what the things are.
Yes.
When the hostages and catching the hostages and everything and people like sympathizing with the terrorists. All of it is there, in my opinion.
So here's the thing. I enjoyed everything as that communal experience. I thought the messaging that was put into the movie was diametrically opposite to everything else the movie stood for. Like, Atlee didn't even allow us to think or feel for a moment. There were many, many things he was touching. I don't know if you're going into spoilers or not, which were serious issues, but he was just zoom, zoom, zoom. So you touch upon it and you move on. It was a strangely, extremely fast-paced movie where you were never supposed to feel sad, but at the same time, it was full of messaging. That seemed, maybe that is also a part of the product development process of this, but that seemed a little weird to me.
No, I thought that was very much a part of the product development. First of all, the whole genre of South movies, there is a much more political consciousness in those movies.
That's what I read over the last 3 days.
Hindi movies kind of exist in a political, ideological, historical vacuum, right?
Yeah.
When you see Wanted or when you see, let's say, Pathan, it's not very clear as to who is the prime minister or when is this happening or it is almost a multiverse that Hindi movies have always had. It's not supposed to be this earth. It's supposed to be something quite similar to it. And the reason for that is Hindi movies have always made for everybody in the sense that they don't want to offend anybody's political or religious or sensitivities at all. They are supposed to be, and especially after Hindi movies become corporatized from, let's say, mid-2000s, it has been even more acute that they are very afraid of offending anyone. And also because the studios also represent different kinds of political opinions.
Yeah.
Now, in this case, I was obviously, as a political commentator, I kind of heard what it was because I'd seen Mohua Moitra's tweet and everything. So the way I saw it initially before going in was, of course, you know, you kind of go in with some kind of bias, was that this is an attempt to kind of be counter propaganda to the Times Now and Republic. Because you see, for the opposition parties, it's become very difficult to get their message out to a vast population. Because all the television channels essentially are now controlled by the ruling party in different ways. There was NDTV even that they have bought over, right? So it's very valid for any opposition party to be able to get to the, unlike in the US, they don't run political ads in India, right? It's just not the way it's done. You don't usually have, or it's not a
don't
big
deal.
Don't
they still run? That big India Shining campaign 20 years ago. I
know, but they don't succeed, right? Hmm. Unlike in the US, where political ads on television, at least, used to be a major thing at some point of time. And that was where candidates outspent each other, and that's how they won elections. In India, it is not a big deal at all. India, it is all like chipkao posters on Diwal and stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought coming in that this was going to be before 2024, given Shah Rukh Khan's, and then now today Shah Rukh Khan makes another tweet, which kind of totally subverts the message in the movie, which is why he wants to play both sides.
I'm glad he made that tweet. I'll explain why. Go ahead. You finish your thought. I'll tell you why.
So I think there is a distinction also between Shah Rukh Khan and Atlee. So Shah Rukh Khan is, again, he's not that political himself. Yes, I'm pretty sure that, you know, get his son arrested and everything, that must have had these kinds of things definitely deepen your political consciousness. There's no doubt, right? So, I mean, this is as close home as it can be. I'm pretty sure that dialogue is there for that reason. There is no other reason. But the point is, I think Atlee is much more political. Shah Rukh Khan is less political. Shah Rukh Khan understands. Is this, after having watched it, is this basically quasi Rahul Gandhi propaganda as an alternative to Times Now? I'm not sure it is. I think it pulls its, if it was, then it would have not pulled some of its punches. There were places, there were some things which were too subtle for maybe people to notice. One was that the villain is dressed up like Narendra Modi, okay, at some point of time. He gives lines like "Wah kya scene hai," if you remember. That's a line from Narendra Modi. So unless you're watching the movie very closely, which I'm pretty sure most people aren't, right? Because it's not that kind of a movie where you think that every line is important. So if you see that, then you see that, yes, there is that. But otherwise, I mean, yes, the Kafil Khan incident is referred, and that's a Uttar Pradesh Yogi Adityanath thing. So yeah, sufficient BJP baiting is there, but it still pulls its punch at the last moment. So what people walk out at the end is the speech that Shah Rukh Khan gives at the end. I mean, that's small things. That is fairly generic. That is that I think is more Shah Rukh Khan's voice.
Yes.
I think everything else is more Atlee's voice. So the provocative things are Atlee's, in my opinion, and the more generic populist stuff. And I think what Shah Rukh Khan is saying is something which pretty much every person, unless you're absolutely a political guy, would say, yeah, that's right, right? So you should not do this, you should not do that. So I think that is populist. And the movie is populist. There is no doubt about it. It's for everybody to feel emotion. It's like raw emotion. Everything about the movie hits directly to an emotional core without any message, whether it be the music, whether it be the entrances, whether it be the messaging.
So, first of all, I agree with a lot of what you said, and you're actually maybe the only person so far who has watched the movie and said this, because as you said, it's pretty much being assumed it's an anti-BJP, anti-Modi government movie. I have been sharing this in my WhatsApp groups where the same thing is being discussed. I think it is an anti-establishment movie, which can be in the Modi government era, in Manmohan government, Indira, Jawahar. It can work at any point in time. It's a generic anti-government movie, anti-corruption movie, not anti-government, anti-corruption movie. And we have seen these movies back in the 70s with Amitabh Bachchan playing the angry young man. We have seen this movie even with Shah Rukh Khan in the past. It's a very different kind of a movie, but Oh Darling, Yeh India. The point, as you rightly made, is it's a generic movie that does touch upon a lot of topics near and dear to our hearts, corruption, and then how the poor people are being unfairly treated. And some specific episodes, of course, happened during this government. But what I have been telling is there have been movies made like this in the past, which have spoken about episodes that might have happened in during that time's government. I never took that to be this Amitabh Bachchan movie is against this particular government. I've always taken it to be as it is against this big, bad, corrupt government movie. And again, as you said, the Shah Rukh Khan's final monologue, that could have worked today. It could have worked 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It couldn't really have mattered as much. If you want to take it as an anti-Modi message, anti-BJP government message, that's fine. If that works for you, that's fine. To me, it generally did work as a like an Indian coming out. It was like A Wednesday. I didn't think of A Wednesday as an anti-Manmohan Singh movie. And, no, and that, yeah.
There's a difference between Wednesday and Wednesday. The enemies were clearly shown to be not Indians, right? They were shown to be Pakistanis. So I think that's like the Gadar thing. Once you put Pakistan, political parties don't matter, right? That is why always movies, it's a very safe bet to be anti-Pakistan because nobody's offended in India by it.
Well, so Pakistan was the villain in the sense in A Wednesday, they are the ones who were causing the chaos in India, but it is still the responsibility of the government and the police to stop it from happening. So the common man was obviously upset at Pakistan, but also at the powers that be, which is not that different from what Jawan is doing here. He's upset at the powers, whoever the power that maybe is. But again, my point is, if you think it's an anti-Modi movie, that's fine. And if that floats your boat, that's also fine. It will work in any scenario, in my mind, in any theater in India, in any state, in any age, with a movie like this, with the kind of lines that they have been given. And I do agree with you. I think Shah Rukh Khan's tweet this morning where he congratulated Modi for the G20 summit is very Shah Rukh Khan. He is not someone who's going to try to divide the country on political lines. He's never done it for 30 plus years. He knows, or he thinks he knows, / he's the superstar loved by one and all. And it's up to the fans or the watchers to view and interpret his movies the way they want to.
So for me, I'll take a little bit more cynical view. So Shah Rukh Khan has business interests that span India, right? And nobody who's a billionaire himself. So somebody at his level cannot be anti-establishment. No matter what they feel, they cannot be publicly be perceived to be anti-establishment unless they want trouble. Because you know that bete se haath lagane ke pehle baap se baat kar can be told to him too, right? There are lots of betes and baps in this government. So so I think that on the other hand, Attlee is like the Telegraph newspaper in Calcutta. So Telegraph newspaper is very anti-Modi and that's anti-establishment because they sit and operate in a city which is owned by Mamata Banerjee. That's why that is pro-establishment there. Attlee also works in a DMK. You know, he works in a state which is held by the DMK. It's not held by the BJP, right? So for Attlee to make a much more provocative anti-BJP movie doesn't mean much for him because there's no personal, he doesn't have personal skin in the game. Shah Rukh Khan, though, has a personal skin in the game when his movie is perceived to be anti-BJP. So he has to play both sides. I'm not going to say, oh my God, how what a big hypocrite. That is exactly what he has to do. I mean, he's not a person anymore. He's an institution. He's a company by himself. So just like companies cannot...
Not just by himself. He literally is the founder CEO of a company.
But when he speaks, he represents Red Chillies, right? He doesn't just represent Shah Rukh Khan. There are other movie stars. Like Aamir Khan does not represent a corporation. Shah Rukh Khan represents a corporation like Yash Raj.
Technically, I think Aamir Khan has something, right? Aamir Khan production, but it's not as big as Red Chillies.
It's not like Red Chillies. Red Chillies isn't just in the business of making Shah Rukh Khan movies, right?
Correct.
Aamir Khan productions, Salman Khan productions are all like production houses for themselves because they don't want to give their money to somebody else. They would rather invest in themselves. They're at that stage. But Shah Rukh Khan's Red Chillies is much more, it's a cricket franchise. It buys franchises all across the world, right? Yeah. So it has a much bigger vision, which is not just limited to even movies. So of course he has to at some point of time also balance. So I think this was a very balancing act. I think the movie, as I said, I will stand by the fact that it is political anti-BJP. It is made by Attlee. That part is Attlee very much. But I think it's very entertaining. As I said, as a product, everything that he says, everything in the movie is a, some kind of an emotive issue. So farmer suicides, very emotional. Nobody can have a, nobody can say, you know what, it's okay. Nobody can say that. Nobody can say that, you know, children dying in hospital because of a lack of oxygen is kind of okay. So they take all these very, very polarizing issues. Like there's no other side to these issues, right?
Correct.
And then they, basically know who to pin that on. Rightfully or wrongfully, for me, the ethics of it is not a problem. I mean, if the ruling party has its channels, the opposition party can definitely have its own way of getting its message across. That is a valid thing to do in a democracy. But I don't think it goes there again. I think it has also like the standard, it has enough to piss off progressives too. Because the enemies are shown to be the Chinese. They're the first one. And the second was that stereotypical Afghani, Pakistani, you know, if you remember when they go for the mission, right? So the same villains that we usually haven't shown Chinese villains. I don't think so. I can't remember a mainstream movie where the villain was shown to be very clearly the Chinese army. But here they do show
Bhumkesh Bokshi. Wasn't that Chinese or was that?
It was Japanese.
Japanese. Okay, we have to edit this out. But that was the...
There were Japanese spies. And that's historically true. Because in the 1940s, when it's set, the Japanese were trying to invade Calcutta. I mean, they were coming in through Burma. And there were like, there were bombs. Bombs were dropped in Kidderpur and stuff. So it was like the front end of the war. By the way, Shakyamuni has that too. The Japanese spy angle. But coming to this, I think people shouldn't be offended by the movie. I think nobody is. I think unfortunately what Mahua Mitra and some people are doing is they're overplaying their hand. They are actually making people, I don't think it's serving them right. I'm not surprised they're doing that.
Like
I'm not surprised they're doing that, but
actually anyone can co-opt this movie. I think anyone can say, oh yeah, see, this movie is talking about the other side. We are going to fight just like Shah Rukh Khan is. I think even if BJP wants to, they can co-opt this movie. Because the Prime Minister at the end of the day was shown as someone who just signs the... I'll not tell you what they do. But the Prime Minister himself is not a...
Basically says that Kafil Khan is innocent and is being framed, right? That's what it says. This is counter to what the... So there are places where the messaging is not generic at all. Right?
There are places that is very specific. Agree.
Yeah, Shah Rukh Khan's end message is generic. Yes. But there is stuff. So it is definitely some political propaganda here. I think that my problem often happens is when other people like Mahua Mitra, they try to co-opt the messaging of the movie, they might put Shah Rukh Khan. And if you're a fan of Shah Rukh Khan, you would possibly feel this more than I do in a false position, personally with the government. And that's why I think I think he compensated today with that tweet. I normally don't think, I mean, Shah Rukh Khan doesn't make that kind of tweet. I mean, G20 is not something which...
G20, again, is not a BJP Congress thing. It's an India thing. And he always like says things about India. So I'm not even surprised on that.
No, but he thanks the Prime Minister. India. Right? He thanks the Prime Minister and stuff in that tweet. Like he goes there, right?
I think so if we go back to his 20 during the NDA government, sorry, not the NDA, the UPA government, I'm sure there'll be tweets congratulating Manmohan Singh as well. He's very generic in that sense.
Yeah, but I think Shah Rukh Khan is at, if you've seen Satyajit Ray's Nayok, he's at that stage where, you know, as he said, that his hands are tied by what he can say and what he can't say.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he just randomly, I'm pretty sure PR goes over.
PR I'm sure about that, yes. Yes.
Tweet, and I don't even know if he makes the tweets himself. But I think that unless it's an AMA or something, I think these kinds of things, I'm pretty sure multiple levels of management who review this before he...
He's the CEO of a big company. So he has a PR and legal team and social media team, I'm sure.
I'm absolutely sure. Legal team and everything. So, but I was, I would recommend this only for diehard Shah Rukh Khan fans. Definitely a lot there for you. So it's definitely okay for Suhail to go and watch it again and again. So it is definitely true for it. But I really agree with Suhail. It's that it takes like the best part, the most emotional impactful parts of any movie and just there is nothing else. It's like the highlights package, right? So if you like to watch highlights package of T20 games, this is for you.
Yes, it is the hype. Well said.
So it's like takes test matches. You know, good movies have some slow parts, intentionally slow parts, character development. And here there's one thing that I forgot to mention. There were all these girls, and I thought they were going to go into the backstory of all of them, but they didn't, yeah. Right? They started and then said, you know what? Stop it. We can't finish them.
Also, there is an actress, there is a heroine, and there are romantic songs, but there is zero romance. I don't think any other Shah Rukh Khan movie has had real zero romance before this. And in this one, it's the same thing. So Atlee, I guess, realized I don't want to spend time in building up the romance and stuff. People do want a love song, so I'll put a couple of love songs and then move on. And you're totally right. It's a product that is very well thought through and well executed.
It is exactly a product. And that is why that is what really truly pisses me off, because I still kind of feel that if I pay 15 bucks to see something, I should see something that makes me think. And maybe I am a minority here, but I just don't want to see a product. I mean, what I love is things which are products. Of course, mm-hmm. they have to sell. Of course, they have to, you know, get people into the theater. But it also says something. Pathan wasn't that. Zero was that, actually. So, but again, movies like Shah Rukh Khan realize that Zero, I mean, he cannot do in this day and age anymore, because nobody will go to a theater to see Zero. Zero, you can absolutely see on streaming.
Yes, and you can.
You don't, and the budget of having Shah Rukh Khan in a movie like that does not justify the returns on a movie like that. It is bound to fail the moment you take Shah Rukh Khan, because he's not going to work on a Nawazuddin Siddiqui budget, right? So, you know, that's a Nawazuddin Siddiqui kind of movie. You take a good actor, and Shah Rukh Khan is definitely a good actor. I've always said that. But he's kind of priced himself out of the good movie market. He cannot do it anymore, given the amount of money. Nobody can make a good movie and have Shah Rukh Khan in it. It just won't make money.
The only odd one out, I remember, not Shah Rukh Khan, is Aamir Khan had done Dhobi Ghar, which was his wife's movie also at that point.
At that point of time, that was like a home project for his wife, right? That was not he wouldn't have done it for... And anybody see, I think the person in India who does this the best is Rajkumar Hirani. He makes products. He has a message. The message is, you know, Gandhigiri, whether we agree with it or not, but he does it, whether it is in all of his movies. I think he draws that. He's very good. So I'm really looking forward to Dhoom.
Yes, who's making Shah Rukh Khan's next movie.
Because you know, Rajkumar Hirani has that sensitivity and that, at least that adherence to the craft of movie making, that even though he makes very hit movies, he never makes a flop movie. Mm-hmm. Never seen him make a flop movie. He still makes things that people will think about. I don't think there was anything. This was a Salman Khan kind of movie. The only thing I believe is that Shah Rukh Khan, and this might get Bhai fans all in a rage, but I think Shah Rukh Khan does Salman Khan better than Salman Khan. Better than Salman Khan. And at least for me, I always like Shah Rukh Khan when he plays a negative character. I mean, not a negative, but
that's how he started.
Yes, that's how he started. I think nobody does that line where he says that when I become a villain, heroes can't stand in front of me. I mean, again, that's a fourth wall breaking line, right?
You're exactly saying what I was about to say. He's been breaking fourth wall between both Pathan and especially Jawan all the time. It's all these in-jokes, and unless you've followed him, which almost the entire country has, it's almost a one-on-one with you and Shah Rukh Khan, the star or the person.
Yes.
This villain. Sorry, go ahead.
No. So I think that we have reached a stage. So Shah Rukh Khan movies and Salman Khan movies, the reason why they are breaking the fourth wall is that it's the modern version of a religious experience, right? When you are going into...
I disagree a lot.
When you watch a Rajinikanth, Salman Khan, Shah Rukh Khan movie, you are going there for essentially what used to be a religious experience at a temple. You are going there to see a kind of your own perception of God, right? So he is speaking to you. The movie story, all of it is superfluous. The problem with going with a Zero is that the person you see there is not the person you are devoted to. It's a person trying to play a character in a movie. That is not why you have gone to see a Shah Rukh Khan movie. When you go to, and Shah Rukh Khan has realized that now. And I think he's
now
after the flop of Zero, which again, I would say that for somebody Shah Rukh Khan is at a place where he cannot be associated with anything close to a stellar success, right? So
he's had a lot of flops last 15 years. He's had his fair share.
But again, that's the thing with Salman Khan, usually doesn't do that much because Salman Khan never goes. But the problem with Salman Khan, I think, is that physically, and that is where Bhai fans will, physically, Shah Rukh Khan looks much better than than Salman Khan at this point.
Arnav is saying this, not even me. So Bhai fans.
Yeah, that Shah Rukh Khan, again, not the clean-shaven Shah Rukh Khan. See, the problem is not the clean. The clean-shaven Shah Rukh Khan, whenever he comes there, his age shows. The moment he has a stubble, the moment he goes back to that stubble look, which whether he's a hockey coach, that's what gives him. He looks in a totally different universe.
Yep.
And it makes, and especially when a movie is that physical, like he's basically taking what a Thor-like hammer, and he's putting people in mission. There is a scene in which, in the beginning, which you've seen in the trailers, so nothing to spoil, where he's jumping with the thunder behind him. And that's absolutely from Thor, right? You've seen that.
That was the first motion poster also of this movie. Yes. And people figure out that,
Yes. So when he presents himself at every point of time, it is a godlike presence, right? So when the dialogues and he's thundering those lines, the problem with Salman Khan is that he used to at one point of time, but he no longer has the physical aura, in my opinion, to carry that off. Shah Rukh Khan amazingly does, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and I think 2023, of course, will be remembered as a golden year for him. And both Pathaan and Jawan, he did what you're talking about. But last few years, he's done things like, of course, Zero is a big example. But Harry Met Sejal, he basically did a very classic romance and it flopped because I don't think Harry Met Sejal, he was a god. He was just the Dilwale Dulhaniya Le Jayenge romantic hero.
He cannot play a human being anymore. I don't think anybody, well, he can. But I think that people who are buying tickets, who are not going to see it on streaming, in order for you to make the investment to go in and watch, you have to see a godlike performance. It has to be a mythic MCU kind of experience. Otherwise, I could watch, what was that movie?
Rais worked. Which one? The Dear Zindagi?
The one that he played with Alia Bhatt. He was the...
Dear Zindagi.
Yes, Dear Zindagi. I mean, nobody wants to see...
guest appearance, but yes.
Yeah, but guest appearance, ultimately, it sells. I mean, even if it's a Shah Rukh Khan product, like even if he's there for 5 minutes, you know, it will be seen as a Shah Rukh Khan movie. He's at that level. So
the one movie I was surprised, because I thought that was also a product and it was a smart product that flopped, was Fan. Fan had both sides of it. I really hoped it would succeed, but somehow that didn't.
No, I think Fan was a very good movie. I think, again, that was a movie which actually had a message, in my opinion. It is actually a relationship between a devotee and a god.
Yep.
So the devotee worships God, meets God, finds out God is not that great, and becomes an radical atheist. That's the movie, right? So but unfortunately, this is a good skeleton of a movie. But the execution was terrible. I think that's what destroyed the movie. I think post second half, first half was a very good movie. Second half, it was like, what is going on? So I think and I also feel that for most Shah Rukh Khan fans, this message was also a little bit discordant, right? Because if you go to see, if you are a bhakt going in to see your god, and at the end you see, well, God might not be that good a person in reality, then it creates doubt. You're not going to like it.
It was too recursive, I guess, too close to home for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is just, see, the fact with movies like this is they're like comfort food. Most people don't understand why they like or hate a movie. But for somebody who I write books, I understand, at least I think about it as to why people like something, why something has an emotional connect and why something doesn't. So I think when something like Fan is so much against the very notion of being a fan, people who are fans, even without understanding that subtext, will feel uneasy. There is something about that movie that makes you feel uneasy. You don't understand what it is a bakwas movie here. That's how you walk out with. And that's exactly, again, the reason why it's important is that Ackley understands this. He doesn't have one thing that would make you feel uneasy. Not one thing.
team. Forget uneasy. It won't even, honestly, it rarely allows you to even feel sad for any of the protagonists, especially Shah Rukh Khan, for more than 5 seconds. He's never down. In most stories, the character is down at some point and then comes up. In this one, even though it starts as he's a mummy state, but you know it's just a matter of few minutes or seconds till the entry scene happens. So you never feel like SRK is down here.
Right, right. So in terms of all the things that you've learned in storytelling class, that the hero needs to have a weakness and the villain needs to be able to exploit the weakness. Here, the hero has no weakness.
None.
I forgot to say the villain was terribly weak, in my opinion. I think that that an actor like Vijay Sethupathi, he was totally wasted in the movie. I think he had terrible lines. And I think that at least for me, I would have cheered more if the villain had as good lines as the hero, because I'm pretty sure he can deliver those lines. So
they just went for his physical piece of it. I think physically he was a pretty threatening villain, but I agree with you in terms of actual lines or actual story. Vijay Sethupathi was clearly given nothing except one scene in jail with Deepika Padukone.
Yeah, but even there he doesn't. So Vijay Sethupathi, I mean, when the villain introduces himself, I'm the fourth biggest arms dealer. That is supposed to be a comedy line, right? It is like, why would anybody say that about themselves? But in a movie where, like, Andaz Apna Apna, something like that makes sense because you're not supposed to be afraid of Crime Master Gogo, right? Yeah. But here you are supposed to be. Here, that nobody is going in for humor or comedy here, right? There is no other humor or comedy at all in this movie. Everything is goddamn extremely serious.
Unless Shah Rukh Khan has a lot of lines.
Yeah, but they're not. Shah Rukh Khan has a lot of lines, but in order for him, and that's the thing, there is so much desire to portray Shah Rukh Khan as God that they're not even willing to challenge the audience by having at least a good villain who matches up to him for, let's say, 80% of the movie, right?
Yeah.
So the villain never has the upper hand. Virtually never. The only time the villain has the upper hand, immediately it's shown that the villain doesn't have the upper hand in interval, right?
Yeah. Immediately.
Like, you don't... That is why I said it's not a good movie. Because you see, in a good movie, these are the things that you put together in a movie. Otherwise, it's a good product. And I'm looking into Dunki, which I believe hopefully is going to be both a good movie as well as a good product.
Fingers crossed. I am not complaining about 2023 as a fan. And then 2020, I don't know when Dunki is now releasing. I don't know if it's December this year or next year. But yeah, really hope it's going to be as big a success commercially and even better as a movie.
Okay, thanks a lot for being on this show. And
it's been a
conversation that I enjoyed, and we will catch you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.